Let's get to our guest. Christopher Smart is with us. He is the Chief Global Strategist at Barings, on the line from Boston. Christopher, thanks for being with us. More hawkish Fed speak today. That shouldn't come as a surprise. We know what the Fed is trying to do, get the inflation genie back in the bottle. And perhaps the market was a little too sanguine in its view on trying to second guess the Fed's resolve, I think. But now Bullard is saying we need a terminal rate of around 5.25%. Where does that leave asset prices at current levels?
Well, I just want to, I think the markets have been very much like the old story of Lucy and the football. Several times this year already, they get hopeful that this is the end, that the terminal rate is in sight, and start rallying because there's a lot of cautious money on the sidelines, only once again to have the football pulled away and the Fed governors to pour cold water on that thesis. I think clearly there is a lot of short-term uncertainty with the Fed still talking about being data dependent and needing to understand exactly where inflation is going to go from here. I think the good news is that inflation is headed downward. We don't have any more talk of a return to the 1970s and 80s of double-digit inflation, of double-digit Fed funds rates. That has taken sort of the corner scenarios off the table and does help you put a floor under where PEs ought to be and where the stock market, should bottom out. It feels to me like, if we get to 4.5 or something like that, the beginning of next year, which is what I think the market is looking for right now, we shouldn't see much more downside from here.
Just to return to your analogy, I remember Charles Schultz saying that it was important that Charlie Brown never, ever got to kick that football. So with that in mind, where do you see the funds rate settling? Eventually, they're going to have to stop somewhere, right? Bullard sees we're in a five handle now. What do you see?
Charles Schultz was a great investor also. I think it's very hard to know right now. I think it was predictable that Fed governors, President Bullard and others would come out and see the market rally and say, look, it's too soon to throw in the towel. Moreover, we need to see this. There are a lot of numbers between 7.5, 7.7 CPI and our target of 2%. And we're going to continue to make sure things are headed lower, particularly when you turn from the inflation numbers to the job market, which is still very tight, where wage growth continues to be strong, where consumer spending continues to be strong. I think the Fed has to signal, more resolve. I'm not so sure that it's going to go much higher than 4.5 or 5. I think that's currently feels very high right now. I think where the market is missing things is it's going to have to stay at those higher levels for much longer before any cuts start coming into view.
Christopher, just watching some of the price action around the Asia Pacific at the moment, considering the weakness that we saw in the US session, modest weakness though it was, we're seeing some pretty good gains at the moment. I'm just wondering if you consider Asian markets now a bit more detached from what the Fed is doing and a bit more focused on the changing narrative coming out of China.
Maybe a little bit. I think I would be cautious about drawing too many conclusions from, I think you've just, you and your colleagues have highlighted some of the company-specific news that's been coming out of China and Alibaba today. But I think it is, on the margin, more positive that we're getting some headlines from China and reports about local and regional officials loosening up restrictions on COVID. I think it was also just very positive that we had that summit between President Biden and President Xi last week. Anthony Blinken heading to China beginning of next year feels like at least the relationship that seemed to be going from worse to worse every single with every passing week now at least has stabilized. So that may help as well.
When you take a look at global markets and you compare those situations to what we're seeing play out in the U.S. right now, in an environment where the Fed is poised to raise interest rates and risk assets may still be defensive for a while, are you tempted to put money at work in places like China through Hong Kong or maybe India or North Asia like Japan or South Korea?
Well, I think each of those, bears looking at these days. What is so hard for those markets right now is compared to the U.S., where rates are rising and growth is slowing, growth is still pretty good in the U.S. And so I think you need to sort of have a compelling valuation story to get your attention to look elsewhere. At some point over the next several months, as I said before, as I think we all expect, rates are going to peak in the U.S. I think the dollar has already sold off a certain amount over the last month, and that is going to get markets feeling a little bit more comfortable that the worst of the hikes are behind us in the U.S. and that there is more, comparative value to be explored in Asia in particular.
As we enter a period of rates being higher than we've become accustomed to in the earlier part of the century, do you anticipate we're going to see some more bankruptcies?
Well, all eyes are on FTX right now, which is not necessarily a mainstream business, but I think in any tightening cycle, you get accidents, you get bankruptcies, and you see where the stresses aren't going to hold. Even in a loosening cycle, as you say, if we're going to come down, but come down slowly, there are a lot of business models out there that were designed for very low inflation and rates at 2%. And if they remain at 5 and 4 through this year, I think we are going to see more. Of course, in the U.S., that's coming from a very low base of bankruptcies. So I don't know that that's going to be triggering massive pain across the economy, but it will certainly be an uptick.
So in terms of the FTX story, what is the knock-on effect here? I mean, it's created maybe a little bit of risk aversion in some of the more exotic pockets of the market, but does it necessarily close the door entirely on crypto?
Well, I don't think it closes the door on crypto, because I think what has been exposed here is what appears to be early reports. I want to be cautious what I say, but a lot of mismanagement and possible fraud and a lot of leverage. So that's separate from the attractiveness or the relative merits of crypto. I think what is a little, what makes us all nervous right now is we don't see the connections, but, who is overexposed, who's going to have to post margin, who can't get their collateral back. There's likely to be some other fallout along the way. Again, hard to see that turning systemic, but it's still very early days when you get such a big collapse of such a large amount of money.
Yes, the FTX story has some ways yet to unravel. Christopher Smart, Chief Global Strategist at Barings, thanks so much for joining us on Bloomberg Daybreak Asia.